Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 14. I don't know if you noticed, but I'm wearing green today. Somebody told me it's St. Patrick's Day on Tuesday. So I walk up to Dennis Nimick, and you know Dennis is an accountant, or a CPA. And I said, where is your green? And he pulled open his pocket and he showed me his tithing envelopes. I said, that is acceptable. So, bless your heart. Remember, we have a council meeting right after church. We'll try not to keep you long, unless you want to talk a long time. Okay? Mark chapter 14. We've been talking about the cross, and from the time that Lent started, we've been talking about the steps that Jesus took on that way. All year long, we like to talk about the blessings of God and the joys of the Lord and the peace that Jesus brings. But this is a time of year when we focus on what that price was, what that cost was. I want to just highlight two stories, both in Mark chapter 14. One starts in verse 32. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to tremble and deeply distressed. And he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here and watch. He went a little further. Jesus always went a little further. And he fell on the ground and he prayed that if it were possible that the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Then he came and found them sleeping and said, Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away, and he prayed, and he spoke the same words. When he returned, he found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Verse 53. And they led Jesus away to the high priest. With him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat in with his servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now the chief priest and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. For many bore false witness against him, and their testimony did not agree. Then some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But not even then did their testimonies agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? And he kept silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am, our Heavenly Father. I pray that you open our minds and hearts. I pray that we continue to grow in your grace and knowledge as we've watched many grow throughout the years in this church. Lord, we know that the only victory that we can have in this world is to have a victory in our spiritual life and to realize that we are eternal beings saved by an eternal God that loved us so much that he had laid down his life for us. So Lord, bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. If you look up the word Gethsemane, it means wine press. I've been in that garden, and it's a garden filled with olive trees, and there was a press in among them, and what they would do is they'd take the olives and they would lay them on this big wheel of stone. And then another stone would come down, and the oxen would pull those stones, and it would grind the olives until the olive oil came out. Jesus was going in. He had had the Last Supper. He had washed the disciples' feet. He went into the garden to pray. And he was under pressure. You wonder, why did Jesus pray, "Lord, if there be any way, take this cup from me"? I mean, he was God. He knew what he had to do. Because Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, but born of the Virgin Mary, Jesus had a body just like you and me. And that body, it would not be correct for that body if it just wanted to die and it wanted to be tormented. That is not something that our body wants. There are many things in life that our body doesn't want. And we pray. As a matter of fact, we pray more often for things that our body does want. And we pray earnestly about things that have no eternal value whatsoever. But it's just about our body. Had Jesus not prayed this, we may have had some question about him really having an earthly body. About him really coming to us and the suffering being as real as it would be to you and me if we suffered on the cross and we suffered the torment that he suffered. Jesus went into this place of the wine press, this garden, and he asked his disciples, Peter, James, and John, "Will you come with me to pray?" And they did, and he said, "Could you not stay awake for an hour?" The disciples did have some concerns. They asked Jesus before this, "Lord, teach us to pray. We want to know how to pray." You know, so many times in church and many times Christians, we do a whole lot of studying about how to do something. We never follow through and do it. They wanted to know how to pray, but when they were needed to pray, they weren't there. There's a poem by Karen Earhart that I want to read to you, and how we pray and how to make sure that your prayers are answered. And there's a lot of question, and we debate that all the time, and you know, should we pray with our head bowed, our head up, our knees down, our laying on the floor? How do we pray? Well, there was this debate going on, and she wrote this down in poetry form. "The proper way for a man to pray," says Deacon Samuel Keyes, "and the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. No, I should say the way to pray," said holy Dr. Wise, "is standing straight with outstretched arms and wrapped in upturned eyes." "No, no, no," said Elmer Slow, "such posture was too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed." "Well, last year I fell in Hector's well, head first," said Cyrus Brown, "and both my heels were sticking up and my head was pointing down. And I made a prayer right then and there, and the best I've ever said, the prayingest prayer I ever prayed was standing on my head." This is the kind of prayer Jesus had. This kind of prayer that It's like the last 2 minutes in a football game. You ever wonder if those players played like they did in the last 2 minutes, what a different game it would have been? It's like the full court press that they put in the last minute of a basketball game, where you can't do it by yourself. It takes the others coming along with you and the others around you in order to make sure that it happens. Jesus told his disciples in Mark 14:34, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He told them what he was going through. He told them what his need was. Matthew 14:23, the Bible says that Jesus went off by himself to pray. All through the Bible, he went off by himself to pray. This time he asked Peter, James, and John. And to me, it's fairly obvious. He wanted them to go with him. He expected them to pray with him. And he needed them to pray with him. This was a time when he felt he needed his friends in a struggle. Have you ever asked someone to pray for you? And they say, "Oh, yeah. I like someone to tell me they're praying for me." Especially when I say, "You know, I've been sick," or "I've been going through this." They'll say, "Pastor, I'm praying for you." I don't like to hear, "I'm thinking about you." That is a cop-out. Thinking doesn't help anyone. Only God can meet the need when you're in that wine press, when you're in that hardest time. Only God can intervene, and only God can lead, and only God can give us a vision of what is ahead. "No, I'm praying for you." You ever got on your knees and prayed for me? Brian's going through one of those times with the cancer he has. "Brian, I've got on my knees and prayed for you." Jesus expected his disciples to pray. But Jesus' prayer is quite unique. He says, "Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me." Jesus said, "I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by your Father in heaven." Matthew 18:19. I don't think that if these disciples would have prayed with him, it would have changed that. I think Jesus still had a cross to bear. I believe that Jesus still had a debt to pay that he did not owe. And he still had a door to kick down in hell that opened a way to heaven for all of us. We don't pray. We'd rather think about solving problems. We'd rather lay awake at night for hours just thinking and wondering how we can do something and how we can fix something. If Jesus would have called a committee meeting, he would have had all 11 of the disciples who were left with him, and they would have all had suggestions of how he could get out of the cross and how the cup could pass from him. You ever have a prayer that wasn't answered? I have. Or it wasn't answered the way I wanted. But do you get discouraged? I don't. Because we have a pretty good example here. Jesus prayed, "Lord, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me." He went back, and the Bible said he prayed the same prayer. And he went back and he prayed the same prayer. Three times he asked, and three times God said no. Wow. Three times. The flesh reached out for what it wanted, and God said no. But God answered his prayer. When things don't turn out the way we want, we get disappointed and frustrated and angry. But Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Jesus prayed, and he prayed in earnest. And he prayed till the Bible says he sweat drops of blood. And God gave him his answer. My will be done. Jesus stood up in the garden. He faced his betrayer. They said, Lord, let us do something. And one drew out his sword and cut off a man's ear. And Jesus said, do nothing. Jesus was resolved to follow the Father. That's what he got in the garden. He knew what his plot was. He knew that he could do it. And he knew that God would walk with him. He walked with strength. He walked with confidence. He walked without error. He did not miss a step. He did not miss a word. He laid down his life. He died and he rose again because he prayed. His disciples didn't pray. I believe that Mark put these two stories together. As Jesus went in to among the Sanhedrin and the leaders of the religious group, not at the Sanhedrin's meeting hall where they're supposed to meet, not during the day as the law required them to meet, but an ad hoc trial that they had for him. Peter shows, Mark shows where Peter was. Peter was outside the gate. He was a coward because he didn't pray. He was hurting because he didn't pray. He was doubting because he didn't pray. I have been with people and prayed with them when they're dying and and I know if I pray with them and if I can touch what they touch, if God takes them, I can do the funeral, I can handle it because I went through them with a prayer. You ever wonder why you couldn't understand what happened in life with someone else and they seemed to be so peaceful? Maybe we didn't really pray with them. I believe if Peter would have prayed that night, he would have seen what Jesus saw. He would have been rewarded through the same rewards that Jesus saw. He wouldn't have lost faith. He wouldn't have lost contact. He would not have doubted him. I love to see our altars full. Our altars are full for one reason. Because the people that come know that God answers prayer. And the people who come with them say, I am going to pray with you. I'm not just standing here. I'm going to go into this valley with you. And I'm going to make sure that God hears us. And then we're going to accept what God says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But you will never walk through the valley of the shadow of death unless you have the light of God upon you. That's the goodness and mercy that will follow you all the days of your life. What happens when you get down to prayer where you really mean it? It does the same thing as it does in the last 2 minutes of a ball game when you put on a full court press. It changes the tempo of the game, puts the opponents back on their heels, and it gives you a sense of control of the game. When you enter into prayer with someone that is going through the valley, and you stay awake and pray, it will change you. But preacher, God took my child. If you really got into prayer with that child, you can walk out of the cemetery knowing that you'll see him again. But God took my wife, my husband, my parent. Yes, God did. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why these altars are filled. That's why we see people standing here behind them. You say, well, preacher, how many times is Michael going to sing that song if people just keep coming? I don't care if he sings it till 2 o'clock. Because that's where God is. And that's how we touch Him. When I was in the Navy, I never was on a ship. I flew in airplanes. I flew over a couple ships. Lots of ships. We patrolled the East Coast out of Pax River, Maryland. But I remember going through boot camp. And Dick, you were on a ship. You understand this. When the ship would come into port, they had what was called a monkey fist. I think that was the name of it, a ball. And they would throw that ball to the dock. And it had a rope on it. And that rope then, that little string, would pull a big rope to the dock. And then the big motors on the front and the back of the ship would start to crank. Our prayers are nothing more than that monkey fist that we throw out to God. And it don't bring God to our situation. That ship never moved one of those docks. It brought the ship to the dock. Prayer takes us to God. We reach out to Him, and then as things start to move, we come into God's will. And in God's will, we can live through this life. Outside of God's will, everything is going to upset you. Everything's going to make you mad. Everything's going to be, why is the world turned upside down? The world is never upside down when you're on the right side with God. Always. But that takes real prayer. Not superficial prayer. Not planning to pray. But praying. And when someone asks you to pray, I've done this my entire life. If somebody asks me to pray, and I say, yes, I pray. I always pray. The Bible says if we don't pray, we'll faint. Jesus walked to the cross with courage. What gave Him the confidence? What gave Him the courage? He spent His time with prayer. His friends spent their time sleeping. Romans 4:25 says, He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Titus 2:14 tells us, Jesus gave Himself for us to redeem us from our all wickedness and purify us for Himself, a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. Prayer is the little rope that connects you to God, that will pull you to Him. And if you want to understand what someone else is going through, don't sleep. Pray. Because you'll be part of the blessing. I couldn't find a poem to go along with this, so last night late I wrote this. Asking God to move a mountain is a prayer we often do. It is asking something way too big, something beyond me and you. We pray alone to ask for strength. We ask for endurance too. We pray until we have the courage to do what we must do. We often ask others to pray as our need is beyond our sight. We ask them to pray for us. We ask both day and night. When the answer comes, we know. We feel His loving peace. And all of those who prayed with us walk in the same belief. We experience God's perfect will. It may not be what we planned, but as far as we're concerned, we know we're in His hand. If we do not pray when asked, we miss something in the plan. We miss seeing how God does His work. We miss His comforting hand. Let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that we are a church that prays together. Help us to never take that lightly. Because, Lord, as we pray through, we see Your will. And that brings a peace that passes all understanding. It gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory. So we pray that you open our eyes that we might see that we who call ourselves Christians must pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.